please stand for prayer for the pledge. This time I call on Brother Ted Spear, Frankwater Church of Christ, to lead us in prayer.
O Lord, we are grateful and thankful for the day that you have given to us. We praise you for all of your blessings that you have handed out to us. Lord, we ask that you be with our local government as they make these decisions and give them wisdom in handling these decisions. Please be with our first responders, and we thank you for their willingness to serve and to protect us. Lord, we ask that you give us as a community a love and compassion for each other, and a kindness and a willingness to treat everyone the way that we want to be treated. We praise you for all that you've done for us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I want to welcome you to the Board of County Commissioners meeting. For the record, it's Tuesday, February 19th, 2019, and this is our second meeting of the month. The chair obviously is not here today, so I had about 4 minutes notice. So if you all bear with me, we've done this several times before, so I know that you'll keep me straight. Now, we have a few rules we go by. We'll try to talk one at a time. If there's an item that you'd like to speak about that's on the agenda, if you'll get my attention, come up to the podium, state your name and address to the clerk. We'll give you what seems like 3 minutes to speak. Every time at the end of the meeting, where it's a non-agenda item, you'll be given an opportunity to be heard, so no official action will be taken at this meeting on those items of concern, if any. Now, silence your cell phones, and we'll get started. We're on item 3 on the agenda, if you have one, which is the approval of today's agenda for the meeting. I'll ask Ms. Pemberton if you have any recommended changes.
Yes, sir.
Madam Clerk, do you have any changes? Mr. Bishop, board members, then I am ready to hear a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
Motion to approve.
Motion by Commissioner Moody, second by Commissioner Demps. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say no. Motion carries. The agenda for today is approved. Now, the board, we're on item 4, which is bids public hearings. The board to hold a public hearing set to this date at 9 a.m. or as soon thereafter as possible to hear a petition to close and abandon a portion of Doyle Street located not in Scallop Bay Subdivision, but adjacent to Scallop Bay Subdivision, as submitted by Stephen D. Atwell and Joanne Atwell, his wife. Now, board, in your packet is the information. I think we've had a discussion on this once before, so this doesn't come as any surprise. This is a public hearing. If you are here and you would like to speak either for or against the petition to close or abandon this particular roadway, please approach the podium, state your name and address, and we will let you talk. No one having come forward, I will close the public hearing at this time. Madam Clerk, the minutes will show that no one spoke either for or against the closing of this street. I'll direct the attention now to the board. What is the pleasure of this board? Commissioner, it's your district. I'm giving you the first opportunity to speak or make a motion.
Well, we haven't had anybody come up and oppose.
That's right.
Okay, so we need to go forward.
All right. We have a motion by Commissioner Murphy.
Yes, sir.
Motion.
And a second by Commissioner Moody. that we close and abandon this portion of Doyle Street that we've described. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say no. The motion carries. And we now
that Commissioner Moody had something.
It's like other places we've done away with. It goes to the adjacent landowner.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now he owns on both sides.
Right.
So he'll get it all because he owns on both sides.
Right.
And it's pretty good to understand it because the map didn't go anywhere.
And he's going to handle the expense of the survey and the paperwork?
I believe that's correct. And you pay a fee up front.
$250.
$250 to even get it this far.
I just want it to be like the other
points, yeah.
One of them did.
Right. Now we're on item 5. The board held a public hearing set for this date at 9:05, which is 9:06, or as soon thereafter as possible, to hear an application for a special event permit, that's a mud bog, as requested by Iron Horse Mud Ranch. It's been my recollection that over the years we've had numerous events at Iron Horse, and this is another one. So, this is a public hearing. Public hearing now open for comments. If you are here and you'd like to speak against the application or for, would you please approach the podium, state your name and address. Say hi.
Good morning, John.
Morning.
Morning. How are y'all today?
I'm good.
My name's Trey. I'm speaking. I work for these folks. I've worked for them for quite some time. Mr. Page shared with me some letters this morning. There's three landowners. I believe two are adjacent to our south, and one is a 40 away. So it doesn't touch our, it's my recollection. They don't have their parcel numbers on there, so I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah.
what we're looking at here is we've traditionally done two events per year. We would like to move, and the ordinance allows for more than two, but that's just traditionally what we've done. The folks that have come in and purchased the mud bog have done a lot of improvements, and they want to do four events per year, which the ordinance will allow us to do. These folks have moved here, and they're out here in the audience. Todd and Jake, if they moved here, and their mother and wife and other children have moved to Taylor County. Their kids are enrolled in school here. They bought 520 acres. They made a considerable investment in our community. And speaking with Don at the chamber, they tried to come up with the economic impact of what one of these events will do. And her number was $4 million per event. And we're filling up motels, we're filling up places to eat, Walmart, you can't hardly go there, there's so many people there. We're headed in a more family-oriented direction than where we have been. I mean, traditionally, we go all night. Now we shut down at about 7 o'clock because, when it gets dark, there's no more riding around. That's a health and safety deal. That's what it is. People, at night they're riding around and you've got a big mud truck and a little four-wheeler. Sometimes a little four-wheeler get run over and people get hurt. Right. And we've had that in the past. That was 2014. So we're moving towards an economic growth, but also a safety growth. We've also improved the facility. I know Mr. Murphy's been out. I don't know if the rest of you have been out. We invite you to come out and take a look at it. We pay for our own fire, pay for our own EMS, pay for the sheriff's department. And I say we, Larson pays this bill. There's no cost to Taylor County. Now, last year, they did let us use the DOT signs. Didn't charge us to do that, but that's a safety thing. You've got people, thousands of people coming in and off 19. I think it benefited the county and it benefited us as well. So that's kind of where we're at. If y'all have any questions, I'm more than happy to answer them. If I can't answer them, Mr. Larson can answer them as well. So y'all tell me what. Yes, sir.
I have a question. Didn't you tell me that y'all were going to kind of make an area there, kind of a buffer zone between that gentleman's property?
Yes, sir, and that's our long-term goal, and hopefully by not the absolute next event, but the next event, is to come back for a land use change. Our land uses are such that, when they were put in 93, they're very broad. know, you have mixed use urban, you have, there's nothing that will really fit a mud bowl. When you do a land use change, you have to worry about things such as trip generations and those kind of things. So if we have to get it wide enough to cover what we want to do, but narrow enough to where we're not having trip generations and DOT. DOT doesn't look at it as you're having four events a year. DOT looks at it as, you know, depending on if you don't narrow your land use, DOT looks at it like you're going to have 5,000 people every day on that road. And then it creates, you know, do we need a turn lane? Do we need all these other things? So I've been working with Mr. Griner trying to narrow that down and have, you know, a mud bog oriented commercial, or we have a water oriented commercial, which works pretty good. But it doesn't work in this situation, but something, a hybrid of water oriented commercial. So we're headed there as far as buffers on these folks' property. That'll be what we'll have to do for this event. I mean, we just don't have an option. But again, I believe one of these landowners, I believe he says in his letter that he's a quarter away. If he's a quarter away, then we don't, it doesn't affect us. We've had these folks' permission in the past, and it saddens me. I'm from here. I mean, I've been here all my life. My family's been a quarter mile away from this place for 200 years. We all talk about in Taylor County, our kids grow up and they move away because they have nothing to do. Well, not saying everybody can run a mud ball, but $16 million a year is nothing to laugh at, nothing to joke about. These folks aren't from here. I mean, they may own some property here, but they're from Sarasota. They're from, you know, and four times a year, I just don't believe that is impacting their lives. To where the girl at the J&J, she can buy her youngin' school clothes, and she can buy her children's Christmas presents because she gets a bonus when this thing comes. When somebody comes up to you and they tell you that, you know, thank you so much, you're the reason my kids get a Christmas present, it's because of a mud bog. I mean, we don't have a lot of development in Taylor County. We have Buckeye, we have a paper mill, and if every time a paper mill's gone, somebody complained, we shut it down, it affects your life, it affects everybody's life in here. So, and I appreciate these folks sending these letters, but if they really cared, wouldn't they be here? I mean, my folks are here, and I mean, they invested a lot of money, a lot of time, so that's kind of where I'm at.
The letter states that it messes up its hunting. From my own experience, if deer and turkeys are raised in an area, I got a friend that got a shooting range, and we'd be there shooting our prior rifles at that shooting range, and deer walk up there and watch us. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're raised right there from being on up, and they've heard all that shooting, and that's just like that down there. They hear that coming and going all the time, but it really doesn't affect their hunting.
Well, in Millerfield, her first deer, the last event we had, or excuse me, the event before last, whatever the last October event, and it was a quarter through the woods that I could hear. So, I mean,
right. It don't affect the deer.
It don't affect
like
me.
Like he said, he might not know that.
Yes, sir.
He might not experience what I have. Them deer sitting right up the sand and watching my sheep drop.
Yes, sir.
They do that.
Let me interject just for a moment. Now, the economic figures you have is $4 million each perfect. Time you have an event would be the economic benefit of our community.
Yes, sir.
And that's a believable number. Times four, that's $16 million.
Yes.
That's a great economic boost, I think, to our community.
Absolutely.
Now, are either of these individuals who have sent these letters, are any of you present here today? To speak on your behalf? I don't see any hands going up. And one of these, if I remember correctly, has already signed a waiver four or five times.
Oh, since the inception. The mud bog, and that was in 2012.
Well, I'm a firm believer if you want to stand up and come up to the podium and you need to make your case for yourself.
I'm sure.
I mean, you need to be here. And I'll let other board members make any comments they feel free to do.
Question I have with it is, any of these three letterheads, are they permanent residents?
No.
Okay.
They're from somewhere else.
To my knowledge, they don't even have... I ain't been in there, and I'm 44. I was probably in there when I was 10 or 12 years old when they sold all of that. There wasn't anything there then. I know we have an adjacent landowner who has a cabin, but until we moved there, until my clients moved there, he couldn't keep anything in there because people were going and breaking his place.
So there's no houses?
Right. Not to my knowledge.
The best we got.
All right. I believe there's a structure on those three parcels.
Tell you what, let's do. Frank, you finish talking, and we've asked all the questions to you. Let's close. Just close the public hearing. So the public hearing part now is over. And we can have further board discussion. Jim, you've already spoken, and I agree with what you said about hunting. I never kill all that many deer, kill them right close to places where folks have been. And nobody's
that was a question
here to speak in their behalf. Thomas, you have anything you want to say?
No, I don't have anything to say against it. But I do know one thing, that as we go along and we want to expand recreation in this county to different places, even to the places where there's nobody there and affects very few people, one or two people want to stop progress, I don't see that as being a viable option to not go for something. You know, we're talking about doing some big time stuff down at the beaches and at Steam Hatchet, and if every neighbor come up, don't want it next to me. But yet when you build it, everybody go and enjoy it. I just don't see three or four people stopping 10,000. This don't make sense unless it's direct effect. But it was in their backyard in their front door or something like that, and you park it all over the place, I could see maybe you have to drive. And you might have a gripe anyway, I just don't see it.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Mr. Bishop?
That's the reason that you have this ordinance. The ordinance that was passed back in 2004 with regard to special events, the folks that are having these events have specific things that they need to do to be able to have these, and they're quite copious. And I've seen this gentleman come up every time and state that they you've done everything that pursuant to the ordinance.
We have one waiver that I have a verbal on. It's the estate of Ellison, Martin Ellison. Diana is the person representative. Mike's doing the estate. She's been on the road with her husband. They don't have a way to print anything out. But she assured me that she would sign it when she got back.
Okay. All right. My suggestion is if you decide to approve it, pursue it with contingent of getting that waiver. Because you want to make sure that you do everything that's pursuant to the ordinance. Mm-hmm. I did get a call from Mr. Fernandez. And I will tell you this, that I said, well, you need to come to the meeting. You know, and he said, well, he's got property in over in Jackson County in Mariana, which he has a lot of damage that he has to take care of. But I said, you know, this is the public hearing. You need to come or have somebody come for you. Just as a way of letting y'all know.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
What is the pleasure of the board? Mr. Moody, that's your district.
No, it's my district. It's Sean's district.
Sean, I'll give you the first opportunity. First bite at the apple.
Okay. All right. Well, I think what we need to do is if everything is in order on the landowner's behalf, they have all their paperwork filed, and they're in ordinance and coinciding with the ordinances, I motion that we allow them to continue forward.
All right. We have a motion by Commissioner Burton that we approve the application.
Second.
That's
contingent upon getting Diana's
signature. Yes, sir. She's my babysitter. She'll sign it. I guarantee
it. Tolerance too. She's a good girl.
No,
yes.
I just want to make clear to the board and the public, this is for two events. One in March.
Correct.
And then another one in May.
Correct.
That's correct.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. That's
There's no limit in the ordinance about how many you can have.
There is a limitation that we can have. For a year, we will.
Well, there is a limitation of four.
I think there's a limitation of six.
Thanks for pointing that out.
Where in the ordinance does it say limitation?
Now we have a motion. And we have a second.
Can I make
one? Moody. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no. Motion carries.
Thank you all very much.
All right.
Thank you. If you find that, let me know, Trey, because I reviewed it and I didn't find it.
I will, Mr. Bishop, but I may be incorrect. I've been incorrect before.
Correct.
I thought it did. Well, that concludes my business. May I be excused?
You may be excused.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Have a very nice day.
Go forth and do good.
Thank you.
Now, we are on item six on the agenda, which is awards and recognitions. The board to consider adoption of a proclamation recognizing visiting wounded warriors and guests in Harris County, and thanking those who are hosting them as agendaed by Mr. Malcolm Page. And a call recently, Daniel Schwab, who they may be going, they program a week, 8-day event. They've done it once or twice prior. For wounded warriors, we come in and they take them hog hunting and they take them fishing. And she called me and asked for a proclamation, which we've done in the past. And along this corrected proclamation, I will, as the chair, ask Mr. Bishop if he would read the proclamation, or do we need a motion?
Motion.
I'll just ask you.
I'll read it.
Read it.
Then y'all can pass. Proclamation. Recognizing visiting wounded warriors and guests in Taylor County and thanking those who are hosting them. Whereas it has been brought to the attention of the Taylor County Board of County Commissioners that a group of wounded warriors has accepted an invitation to attend a fun-filled 8-day event in Taylor County between March 3rd and March 10th, 2019. And whereas this event is being sponsored by a group of civil-minded citizens and community leaders of Taylor County to provide 8 days of fishing and hunting for these deserving veterans and guests. And whereas Taylor County, Florida is widely known for its gracious hospitality and generosity, and whereas Taylor County residents revere and respect all veterans, especially those who were wounded while serving our nation and protecting our freedom, and whereas on behalf of all citizens of our great county, the Board of County Commissioners desires to thank all veterans for their service to our nation. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners in Taylor County, Florida, that its highest welcome is extended to these warriors and guests who have been invited to enjoy the splendid recreational opportunities planned for this occasion, and thanks to civic-minded individuals who have made this possible. Done in order this 19th day of February 2019 in Taylor County, Florida.
I move.
Thank you.
Motion to approve the proclamation by Commissioner Dibbs. Second by Commissioner Moody. Discussion, by way of discussion, I will say that Dana asked me to show up on Sunday evening at the opening dinner and read the proclamation. And LaWanda usually puts in a nice little whatever, so it looks efficient.
Where would it be held?
It would be at M. Evergreen Cook Shacks, where they have it. So I think we can wiggle all of you an invitation. They have a nice meal, and the last time they had it, I think it was about 15 or 20 veterans, and each veteran brought one of their children, these wounded warriors. So these veterans got introduced and made it as welcome as possible. It's a very meaningful event. So you got the dates in the proclamation.
I had the pleasure of carrying some vision forward, and the gentleman, the veteran, I was honored to carry him, and he caught redfish and trout. My son caught redfish and trout, and they had a big time.
Yeah, they had a big time. Yeah. And it's some of them at the conclusion program, some of them really got into this hog hunting.
They did.
And these guys, in the military, they can do that. And these hogs, night, you can get the right kind of scope. I guess it's legal to hunt hogs at night. Anyway, all in favor of the proclamation say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say no. Of course, there are none. The proclamation is passed. The next item on the agenda is the approval of consent items. There are four items on the consent. So we'll just ask for one motion to approve all four consent items. Motion by Commissioner
Dent.
Dennis. Second by Commissioner Moody. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say no. Motion carries. Consent items are approved. County staff items. Wanda, that means you know. Number 11, the board to consider approval of a change order in the amount of $7,100 for the contract for the demolition and construction work through the Community Developed Block Grant, that's the CDBG program, for the home of Richard McDonald, as agended by our own Jamie Boothby, grants coordinator.
Good morning.
Good morning. Give us some good news.
Well, we're asking for your approval for a change order for $7,100 to install a new septic tank, lift station, pump, and drain field. It wasn't determined until after the contract signing that the health department deemed the old septic system unusable for the new construction.
I read all that, and house doesn't do you any good if you don't have a septic tank.
That's right. And this was a bid alternate during the bid process,
right.
Also.
I was just a little bit astounded. The last septic tank, 1,000 gallon, I had put down 4 years ago, I paid $2,100 for it. And this septic tank is quite a bit more expensive. Gold plated. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Well, this includes a lift station.
Well, the lift station was minimal. The septic tank really drove the figure up. But I mean, I'm not in equipment over a few dollars. I learned in 16 years, 14, 15 years here, that an individual can get the same work done cheaper than a governmental entity. Mm-hmm. It's just the nature of the game. So, what's the pleasure of the board on this item?
Well, if we're going to build a house,
might as well
put it in the septic tank.
Motion by Commissioner Dempse, second by Commissioner Murphy, that we approve this change order. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say no. There are no no's, the ayes have it, the motion passes. You did good. Now we're on the next item, which is the board to discuss proposed increase in roll-off site hours, as attended by Gary Wombo, Environmental Services Director. Gary, you're one of whoever.
Gary can come on up and respond. I'm passing out the schedule for the current schedule for the roll-off sites, and also a statement from Commissioner Fiegel, who is not with us today. So what Gary did was come up with numbers. Okay. Gave us the numbers for increasing the roll-off site hours to mimic what we have at Carlton Cemetery, which is
7 to 6 and 7 to 7.
Okay. And the grand total for that was $159,872.
Increase?
No, Gary, does that include the smaller roll-off sites like say
everybody?
Everybody,
all 9 sites.
And if I recall, that was the request to see.
Well, to make it uniform.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I just can't see spending the money on a roll-off site that doesn't take in much garbage to open at 7 in the morning. Mm-hmm. The only need, which I have already publicly shared, is that Bruce Springs. In order to bring that one up to the same level as Steen Hatchie, do you have a number on that one?
No, I do not.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be a lot less than 150.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
See, what we're looking at is the predominance throughout the week is 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. And from what I'm getting from my constituents is that we need to reduce that to about 10 a.m. and streamline it with the other hours coinciding with it.
So that would be 4 hours a day.
Correct.
How many days a week?
Let's see, we're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4. So 16 hours a week?
16 hours a week. I think we could cure our big problem for 16 hours a week.
To bring it from a 2 p.m. opening, we want to bring it down to a 10 a.m. opening. Now, the closing factor, we don't have an issue with the closing time down there. It's the opening time. Correct.
And I appreciate that.
Do we have current staffing, or would that be another position?
It impacts us, but we may have to move up a part-time to a part-time.
It'd be 2 more hours a day, about that.
4 days a week? Or 2 days a week?
Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. It'll bring it down to 4 days a week. So eventually it'll end up being 7 days a week, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
You mean we got them all open 7 days a week?
Just you live right here.
I see it.
Okay, with 2 o'clock. Okay. So what we're trying to do is trying to have it uniform throughout the whole week. We're breaking our day. We're confused down there. It's 10 years and people are still asking me the same question. When are we going to streamline these hours?
Gary Holt, what do you have in contingents? Anything left?
I don't know. We were in trouble last year.
Yeah. I mean, 2 years in a row, we've had to come to the board and ask for funding because we've gone over on our tipping fees. But I don't think this would be a tremendous impact. And as long as we have reassurance that if we...
We weren't trying to get every one of them, and I see the cost and the expenditure of it. Mm-hmm. It's not going to work. But if we can have just that one site open up those hours, that would increase it 16 hours a week.
But part-time people, they don't get many benefits, do they?
No, sir. Our biggest issue is that we cannot allow our part-time people to work over a certain amount of hours a month for any certain amount of time, or we get penalized through health insurance. So we have to monitor that very, very closely.
So we've got to bring in some fresh bodies.
We may have to.
We have to.
And we've been struggling trying to get help. We really have. I mean, we ran that in the paper about 11 and a half months last year.
Right. I can appreciate Commissioner Figgis' comments. And since this has been placed up here, it's public record. So I'm going to take the liberty to share. It says, please share this information with the board concerning this item number 12 that we're talking about. And this is a quote from Chairman Fiegel. While I am always in favor of making decisions that will make our community better, I cannot in good conscience support an action that will stress our already stressed budget by extending any roll-off hours. The days and hours of all roll-off sites are made public. So that's the statement now from Commissioner Fiegel. I would like for us to find a way to open Blue Springs roll-off site, to open at 10 in the morning. And let's see if we can instruct our administrator and our solid waste director to see if we can find the funding for that.
Right.
Now, we can't take this out of contingency funding from the general fund because this is an MSBU situation.
It looks like it would be about an additional $10,000.
In a year.
About 10.
And for the rest of this year, probably about $5,000 or $6,000. Mm-hmm. It's budget time coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And we may have to look at a slight increase in the solid waste assessment, which is at 140?
It's at 140, and if you increase it to the maximum of 154.
Which is still less than our neighbors.
Yes, sir. That would, a gross figure we came up with, is that would bring in an additional around $100,000. Now, don't quote me on that, but that's a raw number.
It's either that or change the MST unit. You got to have some money from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Or else cut some hours somewhere else.
Well, and we struggled to balance the budget this past year, and that is with all of your capital money coming from your 1 cent, sales tax. So we did not even use the solid waste funds for capital for this year. We had to do that to balance the budget.
if we would go up on that, we need to reevaluate the camper trailer.
We do that.
Parking fund too, because there's a lot of people living in them camper trailer 12 months out of the year, and they putting out just as much garbage as a man that's living in a four-bedroom, four-bath house. Right? All of them got one kitchen. And they all use the same amount. They go to Winn-Dixie, they buy the same amount of stuff and eat the same amount of food, even though just because you're living in the camper trailer or aluminum shed.
Well, eventually we're
going to... We need to go there.
All right, let's kind of bring this to a head now. If it's agreeable, I'll ask for a motion that we instruct our staff, Lawanda and Gary, to come and bring and present us a plan for just those 4 hours a day at Blue Springs and find the funding, if you can. If you can't, we'll try to help. For the remainder of this fiscal year, bring this back to us. Is that fair enough?
That sounds
Commissioner?
Fair. Yes.
Motion by Commissioner Murphy.
Yes.
Second by Commissioner Dents. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes.
Thank you.
You know, sometimes politics gets in the way of making good decisions. And I only have one road off the site that's in District 1. And this is busy as a bee. And I don't know, we can't take anybody away from there, but I know at least one road off site that's a 40-hour a week person, then they probably pick up 5 tons a week. But that commissioner, you know, politically, you just don't touch that. Mm-hmm. It's the people's money, it's the people's road off site. But because of political considerations, you don't, there's a sacred cow there. It's been there for years and years, you don't touch it. That's the frustrating part about being a county commissioner. Enough said. Where am I, one?
Item 13.
I got that on my agenda. Item 13.
Yes, sir.
General business. Board to consider the appointment of one member to the Taylor County Recreation Advisory Board as agenda by the one dependent of the county administrator. As I recall, we have one act.
Yes, sir.
From Reed, very qualified act.
Yes, sir. And she did send in her application prior to the deadline.
All right.
And the TCRAD board has approved. Yes. And is recommending her
appointment. Her.
Yes, sir.
We need a motion and a second.
I'll make a motion by
Commissioner Moody.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Murphy to appoint this lady, and I've forgotten her name.
Sherry Blanton.
Sherry Blanton. She works at Doctors Memorial Hospital.
Yes, sir.
To the TCRAD board. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say no. Motion carries. And of course, we'll welcome Sherry to the TCRAD board. Now we're on item 14, which is the county administrator items again. The board to consider approval of a request to extend the sunshine date of certain county policies for 1 year as intended by the county administrator. And I'll state up front, I agree with this. There's a sunset date built in a bunch of policies. Most of them have to do with animal control.
Yes, sir. And just to explain where we are with this, I think we have a better solution than just continuing to extend the sunset dates.
Yeah.
The purpose of that, from what I recall, when we first started having uniform policies and putting it on the web, was to add a sunset date, so that would prompt us to review these policies every 2 or 3 years. And as time has marched on, I don't know that we've been as prudent, maybe as we, the staff I'm speaking of, has been as prudent as we could be. And so we have some policies where the sunset date was just taken off because the policy or the intent of the policy hasn't changed. But then we have other policies that we've asked twice now for an extension on the sunset dates because we have not had an opportunity to review them as thoroughly as we would like. So what I would propose is that we remove the sunset dates off all policies and simultaneously in-house start reviewing our policies every year. This is something that I would do with department heads. We would put a date on the calendar and we would sit down once a year, review the policies. If there are any proposed changes, we would bring those changes to the board. I think that's a better solution than, you know, one extreme or the other.
I agree with this. Now, I do think that policies need to be reviewed, at least annually.
Yes, sir.
Reviewed. And then you may report to the board that staff has reviewed this policy and whether no changes recommended. Sometimes you have to amend policies because, you know, dates for our statutes may change.
Yes,
so you need to update it. But they do need to be looked at. But they don't all have to be looked at on April 1st. You do it in sections.
Yes, sir.
So a lot of, I agree with this, and I thank you for bringing this to the attention of the board. And I've read over all those policies. If we had to change them, I didn't find a thing in the world I'd change in any of them today.
No, sir.
It just gives you.
This gives us the opportunity to remove the date and, like I said, simultaneously start a new practice of reviewing our policies every year.
All right, what's the pleasure of this board?
I think we ought to take the county administrator's
recommendation.
Are you saying what's on the agenda to extend the sunset date a year, or are you saying to remove the sunset date?
Extend it for 1 year.
Extend it.
So you don't want to remove the sunset date?
So you're saying
I'm asking if we can remove the sunset dates. And
the board can consider approval of a request to extend the sunset date for a year. So that's the way the agenda is written.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And then I would think that all those that have that sunset date, you review during the year.
Okay.
And then at that time, we could drop the sunset date.
Yes,
if that works for you?
Yes, sir.
Or if we
want. So I'll amend my motion to that. But
pardon?
I'll amend my motion.
All right, your motion then is to extend the sunset date
for 1 year
of the policies, those that are due now, for 1 year. All right, have a motion.
I'll second.
And have a second by Commissioner Newton. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say no. The motion carries, and the sunset date. All policies that have a sunset date, they're all included in your packet. Extended from 1 year from this date. All right, we're all on the same page. The county administrator, item 15, to discuss informational items.
I did want to inform the board that we have hired a new veteran service officer. His name is Dennis Knight. He has been hired. He was our top choice by the interview committee. We believe that his years of military service and human services experience will be an asset to our organization. The office will be open Tuesdays and Thursdays from 8 to 5 and Wednesday from 8 to noon. He's already started his training and he's very enthusiastic and we welcome him aboard. Also, I received a call from Senator Mumford's office yesterday. Senator Mumford wants to bring a bill forth that would help funding for counties impacted by Hurricane Michael. And this, the intent of the policy from what, or this suggestion from what I understand, would be to make us whole. So we are feverishly working on numbers of our financial impact from Hurricane Michael. We will submit that as a community funding request. It's due this week. They are also asking for value dollar and items that would help us with preparedness. So I'm working with emergency management for a list of items. They've submitted several requests for high water vehicles, a boat, and a command mobile station as preparedness items. So I'll be working on that this week and go ahead and submit it on account. On behalf of the county. Also, mark your calendars for February 28th. We don't have this calendar updated. 10 o'clock is a public hearing for the fire assessment resolution of intent, and that will be followed by another strategic planning session. We have a number of items that we have not reached with two sessions, so we're hoping to revisit those items and finish that up. But if you have anything additional you want on that agenda, please let me know.
Can you give me that date?
Today,
2:28 at 10 a.m. 10 a.m.
I believe. 10 a.m.
And that is being advertised now as we speak.
Okay.
And final item, some good news. Last night was the North Florida Livestock Show, the swine show. This is something that our local 4-H kids participate in. We had 22 youth from Taylor 4-H show out of 101 children.
Great.
The first place intermediate showmanship award went to our local Liz Newman. There were two second place swine winners in their weight class, Carolyn Murphy and Addison English. Five out of the 22 made third place in their weight class. Liz and Wyatt Newman, Anna Pemberton, Megan Murphy, and Sawyer Wiles. We had two fourth place winners and one fifth place, and multiple callbacks for showmanship. These children work very hard. This is one of our county departments. Our staff is very dedicated, and I was very proud of Taylor County last night. This is an all-week event. Thursday night is the sale. Just wanted to mention how good our children are doing.
Good show.
Congratulate all those children.
Yeah.
And that teaches a lot of responsibility and skills to these children.
Yes, sir.
Well, it teaches them something, too.
It teaches them something.
Well, to see some of these little bitty kids, you know, bossing around a 240-pound hog in a big arena, you know, kids kind of have a mind of their own. It really shows how hard they've worked and their dedication. And I'm very proud of our staff for working with these children. They've worked very hard.
Yeah, these Wiles children are my nephews.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was real concerned because his show pig had a red eye. And they'd given it 15 injections and nobody could clear up the eye, so he knew that pig wasn't going to do well because his eyes looked bloodshot like mine. Of course, I think Tucker Wiles had won the Grand Champion pig last year.
Last year, yes, sir, last year. I believe so.
And then his brother won third and fourth place. They can always blame it on the hog side.
Well, and now I don't have the number for the steer. I think we have some children who are showing steers as well. So that goes on this week as well. And then Thursday night are the waterworks when they have to place their animals for sale.
That'll be when the tears start. Mm-hmm.
But the parents aren't quite as sad as the children are.
Yeah.
By Thursday night.
Yeah, they're bonded to those animals.
Yes, sir.
Extension does a good job with that, as with everything they do. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want?
No, sir, that's it.
Well, two things you mentioned. Well, the day of the 28th, isn't that the day of the thing in Tallahassee? February 28th?
Mm-hmm. Might be next month. The legislative?
No. The water. The thing you went to there not too long ago.
Oh, no, that's March.
That's March?
That's March, yes, sir.
Okay.
The Restore Act?
Yeah, Restore Act funding.
I think that's March 26th.
Is March 20th?
26th, okay. Maybe. I'll double check.
I have a question. All right,
thank you, Lamonda.
I have a question. With regards to the 28th at 10 a.m. on the resolution, now, that resolution is just for the passage, and it doesn't set any amount, does it? And is this...
It's just a resolution of intent.
A resolution of intent.
Pursuant to the uniform method of collection.
Yeah, pursuant to the statute. I just wanted to make sure that that's all that is.
It's
a collection, the way it's collected, right?
Yes, sir, but then we would have to move pretty quickly.
Right.
To determine the board's intent moving forward. Because an ordinance will have to be passed. I know we have one, if not two, public hearings, and it's quite involved after that.
If they decide they want to do that.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have to come back to the board after that and ask for further direction. So
it definitely needs to be something, you know, on our radar. But we got a late start this year. We really should have started this process maybe back in the fall. There's a March 1st deadline to pass this resolution.
Because you got the okay from the tax collector.
Yes, sir. And the property appraiser.
Appraiser. If you read that through that.
Last opportunity to do it prior to March 1st is the 28th.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, thank you, LaWanda. Now we're at item 16, comments and concerns from the public for non-agenda items. If there's anyone from the public who'd like to speak about something not on the agenda, come forth to the podium and state your name and address. We'll listen to you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Morning.
I'm Dave Malone down at Cedar Island. And you know, we are being just overrun with RVs, you know, two per lot. Yeah. I'd like for us to be able to sign, put it coming into Keaton, you know, as per ordinance, such and such. I don't have the number with me. But after January 18th, year 2011, they're not supposed to have but one per lot except during scouting season. And we have laws to, you know, to do this, but there's no other country's got laws. You know, it's not enforced. But I would like to see a sign put up out there so everybody knows, you know, what you're supposed to do. And then they have no recourse, you know, if the guy comes and says, hey, you ain't supposed to do this. Well, we didn't know. Here's this big sign. And that's the only way we're going to really stop that.
I appreciate you bringing this up because this is a concern of mine also. I don't have an RV anymore, but I have property down there, and I hear lots of my friends talk, and what bothers me about it most is having two RVs is now, especially in Cedar Island, Sean will verify this, you buy a little lot, maybe it's 60 feet wide on the canal, and you build a barn shelter that's got to be right on the property line. And
yeah.
I don't know that we're enforcing the setback.
No setback.
Yeah. If I sold my lot too down there, I went down there the other day and he had one that covered the whole lot. Right on the left there.
Well, they could be done build a house by the time they spend
$80,000
on a truck, $80,000 on an RV.
I think it's science by help, but I think that we got to do something with code enforcement. Because I've told, I don't go around counting RVs, but I'm told there are four to a lot in places. It shouldn't be but one.
Well, I would like to see that. I don't have a problem with one.
I don't either.
But, you know, you've got people down there, you're supposed to what, minimum 5,000 square feet before you can, how does that work, Malcolm?
I don't know what the minimum lot size has to be, 5,000 feet, I believe, you get one.
To get one.
Get one, I think that's what it reads.
Well, that's like my neighbor across canal over there, he's done evidently sold a little piece of property. And somebody's north fit to put a slab over there and whatever.
Yeah.
But when you put an RV on it, you don't even have room to park a truck. So.
Well, we can't take any action today, but I appreciate your concern about that. And it's a concern of mine also. And work on some signage. How you're going up the side of the reed and maybe pass it on to Sean.
Yes.
And we'll. Next time we meet on the 28th, we might take a look at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have one more question.
Go ahead.
On a pre-existing lot after January the 18th, 2011, you know, if they have an existing power pole,
yeah,
they can have two. Well, that is so hard to enforce because you don't know. But now, I understand whoever owned this property in 2011 should be grandfathered in.
Yeah.
What if this property has been sold? Do they still grandfathered in? I can't
get an answer to that. Or one
that'd be a question for the attorney. But
I think the grandfathering goes with the, if you sell the property, you still ought to, I mean, this is just my opinion, you still ought to go back to that original date.
The power pole's in the ground, it probably runs with the land.
Runs with the land.
Probably. Yeah. Probably.
It's a sales to the land.
Mm-hmm. I think it always been so
run. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How are we going to keep up with that?
We don't. That's the trouble, see, we don't. Now, it's not hard to determine when the power pole was put there, because you permit the power poles.
Yeah.
So we have the dates in our building department. Also, you can check, you know, this Tri-County, they have a date about when they connected the power to that pole.
When the power was turned on.
But that's staff time, you know, to get all this data. That's what we need. We need to raise taxes and hire two computer people to put all this data in a program, and then we'd have it at our fingertips. But did you start there yet?
There's something else that goes along with all that extra campers there, too. That puts more pressure on the garbage dump.
Exactly. Like we were talking about earlier.
And they ain't paying but one fee for that lot, that one fire pole. And then you get three or four campers there running cords over to that one fire pole.
Yeah.
And they all go into the grocery store hauling garbage off just like one does. You got all two or three of them hauling garbage to the dump.
Well, I can understand why they're doing it. You know, they're splitting all the expenses and splitting the garbage fee and whatever.
I'm going to stand their side of it too, but the thing is, it's not fair for you as a taxpayer down there to have all that stuff move in there on you and then not paying their fair share.
Well, it's really killing my property values. You know, right across from my house, I got four, you know. And every time I walk out the back door, I look down and I hear how much trailer parking. So, and they don't clean nothing up. You know, that's the thing that bothers me is some of those people down there, they keep their stuff really nice. And that, I like that, because I keep my place nice. Spend a lot of money doing it too. But anyway, if you don't give me any help on the sign,
all right, I'm serious. Jot down something you think we need to put. Pass that on to Commissioner Murphy there, and we'll consider.
Well, yeah, we need a 4 by 8 foot sign. Everybody can see, and then there won't be any. Maybe a lot of them really don't even know.
And realtors that are selling these lots are not going to tell them. You know. Yeah. Well, that's a fellow called me the other day. He said, he called me from Atlanta, Georgia. He said, thinking about buying a lot down here on Dark Island. And he told me, y'all was just fixing to dredge out this Dark Island canal. I said, now, mister, it's on a list. Part of it to be dredged from the bridge to the north. But I'm not sure from the bridge at Dark Island to the left, but that's on the list. Which Lawanda's shaking her head. And he was going to buy a lot over on the left, and the realtor told him it's fixing to be dredged. I said, well, if you dredge that canal, when you get to the mouth of it, it's not a foot deep, you can't get out. I said, my best advice is to tell you that what you buy is what you're looking at today. Don't buy it with the thought that the county commission is going to dredge your canal out anytime soon.
Yeah.
Dark.
Well,
so realtors will tell folks what they need here to sell a lot. Sometimes.
But now, I know y'all got Cedar Island lined up for 2032 right now.
It's been long after I'm here.
And that's not no concrete road on that.
Well, so we ain't got money yet. Nothing done since Ben Lindsay dug in 1964.
Yeah.
Now, how many years has that been? Just like I can't get to my house because we've got a big sandbar washed in right there, so I'm landlocked. I can't, you know, where I live is useless.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we're way down on the list of Cedar Island. And right out from my house is a rock. I was hoping I'd be living where I could point to that dredge man and say, get that rock out of there. But, you know, I don't know.
Well, I wish we could do a little rearranging to get Cedar Island put up a little closer. But, you know, I don't understand.
But see, that money dribbles in over about a 17-year period. And you can't, there's no need to start addressing projects if you don't have a little bit of upfront money to have to get at least one canal done. So it's a long process before the money ever comes. And as Jim said, there's nothing in concrete yet.
That's right.
So we're doing the best we can.
Okay, well, how about, is St. Rowland man-made canals?
Yes, they are.
Can I get a track hole and clean this sandbar out?
I did mine a lot when we got the track hole there, and he dug out before I put a little dock in. He dug out in there. Well, I don't have any dump truck loads of muck. Couldn't fill that back up because the rest of the canal was not. I think you can park on the shoulder of the canal and dig it out. Other folks have done it.
But you have to have a cool engineer.
DEP, you'd have to go through a permit.
You might have to get a permit.
Being in the Mass Main Channel, though, you can get a permit. Yeah. You just have to go through the process.
Well, I don't know about that. But I've had a meeting, well, we have right there on our street with Swanee River Water Management Corps engineers, the engineer up here, and whoever, four of them we had to meet with.
Yeah.
And that was 2.5 years ago. And we don't have a permit yet, because when you got four agencies, you've got to work through, you know, it's just not going to happen.
Right. Fortunately, on my lot that I was able to dig out,
yeah,
I bought the lot from Mr. Bob Meister, who was an engineer, and he had gotten the permit. So when I bought the lot, my brother-in-law bought the lot adjacent to it. We got the permit, so I didn't have any trouble.
How'd you get them?
Lots changed since Mr. Yeah. Bob was doing
that
it.
Mr. Bob's been passed for a long time.
Right.
But he did have a permit. So.
Well, I talked to Wayne Paget, you know, Wayne's got a track though, and Wayne said, I can come down there and dig that out. So this man-made canal, we really don't have to have a permit. And I don't know where he's, you know,
give it, give it a try. Worst you can do is put it back in the canal. Mm. Probably.
Sometimes it's better not to
have to give
instead of permission.
Well, I don't want to get in jail and no great big fine, you know.
You know that you're dealing with a different situation out of Tallahassee than you was a year ago.
Yeah.
You know, so you better go through the right process. I tell you, it's changing the world out there.
Well, we appreciate your concern. And wish Cedar Island had more good citizens like you. Appreciate you.
Well, we've got a lot of good people tonight.
So a lot of good people.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the public? All right, we will have board items. Melinda, do you have anything else you want to talk about?
I was going to ask Stan how many people he thought were at the Fiddler Craft Festival. Over the weekend?
Maybe a few thousands.
In the thousands?
Oh, it was in the thousands. But I don't know any way they could.
Any way you could do it?
A good figure.
He's a bunch.
I know that one of the dates where they sold the $5 entry fees, when the people in the money, they turned in $3,000.
Oh, that's a lot of folks coming in.
That's about 600 people.
Mm-hmm. That's in one gate.
In one gate. And there was four gates. So my inexpert estimate from what I saw on Saturday, I would guesstimate 5,000.
That's a great turnout.
That's a lot of people.
No, I put it for a small community. And I talked to somebody who went, said it was great. Enjoyed it. All right. Mr. Bishop.
I have four things that I wrote down. Number one, we prepared a draft ordinance on the exemption for the Puff Place.
Yeah.
We've prepared a draft ordinance on that.
Super Puff
or whatever. Okay. Also, y'all remember that the lawyer came with regard to amending our ordinance on setbacks. but they would be. I asked him. I said, "Well, you know, send me what you propose." And it took a while to get it. I've gotten it, but do y'all specifically want to consider an ordinance on setbacks that covers the whole county, or do you want to? I need some direction. If you want me to prepare one, it doesn't mean you have to pass it. But like I said, I need some direction on that.
Well, we've had issues with setbacks, not in the beach area. I mean, I remember up in my district, we had a lady who, gentleman bought a piece of property and he put in his metal building and he didn't set back but about 2 feet and she got all fucking dithers about it. So I think we're going to do it for the whole county. In fact, I've got some property where a man came in. I was on a commission and in politics. I didn't say nothing. But he backed right up to my property. And on one side of a rental property I got. And he built him a dog kennel that will hold 40 beagles. I mean, he didn't give me 6 inches of setback. But I couldn't afford to say anything. And I ride my Polaris out there checking my cows. And I set off them dogs, Thomas, you can hear them a mile. And I, luckily, I'm still able to rent this mobile home that suggested to it. I thought, where are the setbacks? Now, when I go off commission, I might ask you to move in dog pens. But for dog pens, a 6 foot or a 4 foot setback's not going to do you good. It's just as much racket across on my side of the fence.
Well, we do.
Let's do it for the whole county.
Okay. Well, we do have, you know, setbacks for industrial setbacks, conventional single-family dwellings, and the addition would be for on non-conforming lots, and also ones with greater than 2 acres and then less than 2 acres. I'll prepare one. And then y'all can take a look at it, decide whether you want to advertise. Okay? Mm-hmm. Just that. Okay? The other thing is, with regard to our case against Mr. Brooks, we had a pre-trial set. It's set for trial in April, okay? So we're going to trial, but we had a pre-trial set. Judge got sick, so we're having a pre-trial in March. It's moving along and it's going to be tried. I live long enough in April. Okay.
Did you get a document yesterday?
I did. No comment. Look at my eyes.
I just read it this morning before I come over here.
Yeah. Well, it's not. It won't do any good for me to comment on that anyway.
Okay.
Also, the Root case against Taylor County, you know, there hadn't been anything done for a long time on that. We've gone to mediation. Mr. Moody and I went to mediation on that. They're going to take the deposition of Kenneth on the 22nd at my office. And, you know, we're locked in kind of because we've got the insurance company to hire a lawyer to, you know, to defend us in that. So we'll see what happens on that. But, I just want to bring y'all up to date the things of that. Did you ever talk to the lawyer after you spoke with me on the phone?
No.
Okay. Well, he should have, but he didn't. Okay.
I thought I would hear from the insurance company's attorney, but I never had.
He did. Well, that's amazing.
Okay. Anything else, Mr. Bishop?
That's all. Thank you for listening to me, y'all.
Sean?
I have nothing at this current time. Yeah, I had wanted to talk about a soldier, a veteran. He was just wondering, was 2 days, 2 pieces of days a week was enough for a veteran service officer when we had 5,000 veterans in this town?
It's 20 hours a week, so it's 2 full days and 1 half day.
Two and a half day.
Yes, sir.
And fund that position that comes out of the general fund.
Yes, sir, and it's budgeted for 20 hours a week.
I mean, like, VA is not sending in a check to help pay. No grants or anything. Just a service that the county provides for our veterans.
That's it.
You want us to look at some data, Mr. Nips? See how many veterans he sees, see if he's overworked?
Yeah, we need to do that.
Can you justify extending the hours or cutting them or whatever? I mean, I don't know how busy the person is.
Well, he just started.
Well, and, I mean, yeah.
You can look
retroactively when Mr. Collins was there. Mm-hmm. See what kind of workload is there.
Have you heard any complaints from the temp about it?
Well, that was a complaint when I heard it. But I told him I didn't know if he all particulars about that. And we had a new, I believe it was the one that told us she had hired a new service officer. Maybe he's a little more quick with his work or won't be more.
I didn't have
a problem with the college. But you know, different people run different off in different ways.
And that's right.
Some get some work done quicker than others, you know.
Well, and I think historically our veteran service officers have made themselves available other than just the times in the office.
Yeah.
So, and Mr. Knight has made it clear that if someone cannot come see him during the posted hours, that he would schedule an appointment for them.
Yeah.
So I think just because the office is open Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday doesn't mean if someone needs him on Monday or Friday, that he would not be available. He's made it clear.
Well, that's very good that he offered to do that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Right, anything else?
Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Tuesday all day, Wednesday all day, and Thursday half a day?
No, sir. Tuesday and Thursday all day, and Wednesday half a day.
Okay.
But he will schedule appointments upon request. And his cell phone number is printed on his business card.
Okay.
So,
every service, every officer, every wounded veteran and serviceman don't have his number. How will they get it?
I think his numbers are printed in the paper, but I'll be happy to send you his information. And, it's on his business card, and I can check our website and make sure.
Okay. What's his name?
Dennis Knight.
Dennis Knight. Had a good little write-up of the paper on him.
Yeah, I read it. Article.
Mm-hmm. Haven't met him, look forward to it. Okay. Anything else, Commissioner?
Yeah, I did.
Not rushing, you got all day.
Yeah.
Madam Clerk.
The only thing is, you remember the board back in the summer? Agreed to advertise for sale of the properties on the vacant deeds.
Right.
We went back now and pulled all the deeds, make sure we have a complete description. I did the notice and sent it to Conrad for his approval. I don't think I've got it back yet. So as soon as Conrad approves it, we will put it on the next agenda for the board to approve that notice for the sale of all that property. And you took out the $300,000 that's in Marshland. So.
It's approved.
Okay. I'll tell CD and we'll put it on the next agenda. But for the board's information, since we did that, we've got five more.
Oh, really?
Through county taxes.
Miss Annie Mae, does this include the county owned properties within the city limits?
It, whatever we got a tax deed on.
Okay.
It don't matter where it's at.
Okay, good. Okay.
Let me ask you another question.
Go ahead.
We were talking about setbacks for the county. The city has a set of setbacks too for that.
Yeah, this would be for the unincorporated area.
Okay.
All right, Commissioner Moody.
I know y'all all heard of the outage they had at the hospital. They had shut down and fire back up. The city has got a water line that comes off 19 there. They got a big valve, about 8-inch valve. And they weren't able to cut the water off, so it helped and made the job run a day longer than it should have to actually fix the leak. They finally got a big enough wrench and a piece of pipe on it, tightened the valve up tight enough to save the day to cut the water off where they could repair the leak, that actually closed the hospital down. And they got the leak fixed and went back up to the hospital. But they're wanting to put a new valve and a backflip preventer out there next to the highway, and they pretty much want to give us that loop that circles the hospital. And I forgot to talk to Mr. Conrad about that, because it's a commercial hookup, it's not actually a residential hookup. And a residential hookup, when you leave the valve at the street, you own everything from the valve to the house.
Yeah.
But in a commercial hookup like that, they've got this big loop that goes around the hospital, and I'm wondering if they're supposed to be responsible for all the loop. If we're responsible for it, that's fine. I mean, we do what we got to do. But if they put it in with and start with commercial, then it's supposed to be kept up by them. I want to know that. You know,
we don't want to take it over.
Right. If you have a major issue with that line, I want to. You know, they handle it, or we don't have to handle it. But they are going to put in a new valve and a backflip preventer out next to the highway. And
that would be a city's.
That'll be the city's doings there, but they're getting a price up and all on that now.
Yeah. Now, would that shut the hospital down and just put in a new valve?
No, it'll just be a short window.
For a short time?
Several hours. I think they can take care of, like they acted like they could handle several hours with a bucket brigade to commodes and stuff like that to keep everything going. But that's what they did on the first day when they tried to fix the line. They actually had bucket brigades to the restrooms and stuff to keep it going, and then they finally got to the point where they had to move the people out.
Why isn't there a water tank out there?
Do what?
Well, we don't have a water tank out there.
Water tank?
Yes.
They have a tank.
Fire suppression and all this kind of stuff.
They've got a tank for the fire suppression system.
Okay.
And that's tank there. That feeds into the system, but it's got valves on it. It's not really made for nothing but the fire suppression system,
okay,
is what I've seen.
Okay.
And they really don't have a holding tank.
Yeah.
You know.
Is that part of the water? Part of the water.
Part of the water, you know, and separate from that fire suppression system. Although fire suppression system is fed by portable water into the holding tank, but it's not, you know, it's not used for potable water. Once it sits in a tank for a period of time and chlorine goes out of it, you can't pretty much use it, you know.
Jim, let me say, as one commissioner, I appreciate your expertise and your assistance you give them. It's valuable, and you keep on top of it, and keep us informed of what's going on out there. We thank you for that.
They're doing a good job out there. They're trying real hard. They got the boiler fix that had gone down. They got the new tube put in the boiler. They're up going. They got both boilers running, but the other one is going to have some work down the road. And then we'll have two new package boilers there to make sure we got a backup, you know, and that kind of thing. And we've already pretty much allotted the money for that when we didn't one when we.
Yes, sir. It's in the purchase order.
You know, that's took care of. So.
But can you, I just have a quick question. When you say they want us to take over the loop.
In that meeting, that's what it sounded like to me. Now, they didn't just come out and say, now, we just going to give it to y'all. I just got the question.
Right.
That's what I want Mr. Conrad and me to talk.
Well, I guess the question is if that's included. I mean, the lease is fairly clear about maintenance on the hospital. So I guess we would just need to clarify that as per the lease.
What the loop is for, so that water won't become stagnant. That's what a loop is for.
Yeah.
So I mean,
rather than dead end.
Yes.
You're extending the life of the chlorine in the line.
Yeah.
By creating a longer space and pumping and moving it through. It's like the longer the pipe, the more water you have in the hole, and that chlorine will last longer. They got to keep like a 0.2, I think that's what it is, 0.2 or something like that. But anyhow, that helps the chlorine levels. It really does.
It keeps it mixed up in line, what it does.
Mm-hmm. That and you don't have any pockets of chlorine. Chlorine doesn't coagulate,
yeah,
plug.
Not now.
So that system's
All right, let's continue moving forward. Let's see, Jimmy, you anything else?
That's pretty much what I got, although we fixed to have a mosquito problem in Dallas.
Oh, yeah, we are. Jimmy's back.
And, but I think Gary's planning to get started on all that, isn't he, Ms. Warren?
And we've started advertising for drivers, so we can hopefully get a jump on that.
He's having a problem getting drivers, he told me. They can't hardly get nobody even to. But let's do the dump shots, let's drive a mosquito truck.
All right, let's wrap this up. It's my time. Last night, I was at the landfill meeting in your behalf, and it was a little contentious. We have an attorney who's a friend of Mr. Bishop's, Mr. Worsha.
John Worsha.
John Worsha. And Mr. Worsha has been the landfill's attorney since its inception. And he also was attorney for the planning council at one time. I think maybe he was once a Lafayette, a Lutchwa County commissioner, wasn't it? One term. But anyway, a certain commissioner, not me, has objected to paying a Gainesville attorney to drive from Gainesville and for an hour's meeting and then go back and bill us for the whole town when we've got a lot of local attorneys who probably could do it for less money. So at the previous meeting to last night, we had said let's talk about it at last night's meeting, and maybe Mr. Worsha, you could be an on-call attorney, or else we could put you on a retainer, and if we didn't have any heavy legal business, you wouldn't have to drive from Gainesville up here and bill us $700. And so when it came time for this item to be discussed, the vote to seek another attorney, local perhaps, less money, or to change Mr. Worsha does not have a contract, but to change the arrangement where he'd be on call. He stated during that discussion that he was not interested in being on call. He wanted to be there every meeting. So the vote was 2-2, which meant the vote failed. But before we took the vote, he said, look, y'all don't want me here, I don't want to be here. So this is my last meeting. So we are going to seek assistance. We probably have to go through this RFQ process, Conrad, and we'll see what's out there. I still am one of those that think that you need legal representation at your board meeting. But if you could get a local attorney that's skilled in contract writing and this sort of stuff, you might save some money. And I've had other local attorneys say, why in the world are you going to hire somebody out of Gainesville? Well, there's plenty of attorneys around here. You're glad to do this. So it got contentious, and I was smart. We had our reorganizational meeting, and I know I'm not going to be there forever. So I nominated Commissioner Ronnie Moore from Madison County to be the chair. So poor Ronnie had to bang that gal all the time. But it was a good meeting. And hopefully we all left friends, because we have a meal at those meetings. Most of our show stayed around and had dinner with us. And drove himself back to Gainesville. It's the way boards work. And I don't blame him. If he feels like he's not wanted anymore or appreciated, then just say, I don't have to do this. That's just information. Rolanda?
Yes, sir.
They want to see your face over there at one of these landfill meetings. And the deal is, if I invite you to the next meeting, that we will have a prime rib on your behalf. Or whatever, John. John, our manager, is an excellent cook. John, somebody told me you're an excellent cook.
Somebody told you I was an excellent cook?
Yeah, somebody told me you could do a steak.
Well, amongst other things.
Amongst other things. But anyway, Lavonda, when it's convenient, if you'll attend.
Sure.
And a lot of folks don't know you're our county administrator. And it's usually a men's only event now, but you're tough, you can handle it. We do behave. All right, I'll talk
just before you go. I did go down to the meeting at the seminar last week. There was a lot of good stuff passed. And there is some money out there for these startups and companies. One down across city, the old George Pacific plant. Mm-hmm. That was some state money used and federal money used to help start that up. And for anybody coming into the town, we were talking with Jeff Henry. Jeff Henry was going to go get with Scott Patrick. We talked with Scott Patrick, our developer, and let these people know this is coming into town, that there is a possibility of getting some help provided they go through the right channel. Mm-hmm. And I was impressed with that meeting. The fact about it, most impressive meeting I was into. That was several subjects talked on, and one of them was about soft talk. There was a company out in Mississippi that had a fellow that was there. His name was Dr. Raji or something. He said he was born in South Africa. He's about my complexion. And he said he started a school over in Stennis, Mississippi. I believe it was a junior college. He's a volunteer math instructor. And I think he got to be the developer over there. And that county, they lost all 800 jobs. Now they got 6,000 jobs over there. They got Yokohama Tire. I don't know if you ever heard of them or not. Mm. But he got a school going that teaches, if you don't go to that school in order to work for those two big companies in that town, you don't get a job. They teaches how to fill out an application, how to do all these things you need to do. Your appearance was very important. And I was really impressed with that. I think sometimes our people just don't understand that if you're supposed to be to work at 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock is when they want you there. They don't want you there at 9 o'clock.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's probably some of our problems in this.
Let me talk about one more thing, and then we're going to ask for a motion to adjourn, because I do have a place I need to be at 11 o'clock. Last night at the landfill, our engineer, Frank DeRobbie, discussed with me prior to the meeting as the Taylor County Commissioner something that he wants this commission to do for West Fraser. West Fraser is this Gilman sawmill.
Don't worry about it.
Right. Now we take some waste, C&D waste from George Pacific out here. Piles of it. Old asphalt, concrete, rubble, whatever. And it goes in the CD landfill, and that tipping fee is $32 plus the $7 surcharge, which is $39, which is fair. Everybody pays that. Well, DeRobbie said, I told West Fraser that they had some dirt that they want to haul to the landfill, which is where an old pressure treat kiln was. It got arsenic in the dirt, and they've got to dig out 1,600 yards of dirt and dispose of it, which that's about, I calculated, that's 8 truckloads.
18 yards of truckload.
Yeah, $20 of truckload. That's like I think 80 truckloads of dirt to dump. Well, the dirt, according to DeRobbie, who has a conflict of interest a mile wide there because he represents them, he says that's suitable dirt to use as a cover in a landfill. And he says he's gonna get arsenic all down in there. And what he wanted West Fraser to do is come to this board and ask you all to waive the $7 surcharge that we charge on all garbage. And I can't support that. I told Mr. DeRobbie, I won't vote for it. First of all, it's not fair. It's been a county ordinance, it's been in effect for years and years and years, and just because they're going to deliver a product up here that's contaminated with arsenic that you say you can use and you think it's a good deal for the landfill because that's 80 yards of dirt, you know, I still can't do it unless you all tell me to vote otherwise.
Now, In other words, he wants us to weigh it.
Weigh it $7.
$7, is that a ton or a truck?
Per ton.
Per ton.
Now, I calculated, all they're asking for us to weigh was something like, I calculated about $1,400. That isn't worth, I mean, to them, $1,400 is not much. But we're not doing it for Georgia Pacific. We don't do it for Buff and they all the stuff up there. We don't do it for anybody.
You're opening up Pandora's box.
And we're not opening up Pandora's box unless you all tell me to do the other thing. I just give you that heads up. All right, that's all. And having heard no further business, I'll ask for a motion in a second to adjourn.
I'll move.
Have a motion by second. Commissioner Dent, second by Commissioner Murphy. And we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mountain, maybe you can't motor work.
Yeah.
I might send you
$10,000.
$10,000.
Yes.
Hi.
That's about right.
Yesterday.
Okay. All right.
Did you see that other one?
Oh, big